anybody need a book? You didn't get a book. Andrew, why don't you come and hand some books out? These are books that we're giving to you. It's called Breadcrumbs, a devotional for the entire year. And everyone gets one. If you're not in children's church, you know what I'm saying? If you're a child, no. But if you're not in children's church, you get one. Hayes, if you want one, you can take one. Oh. Anyone else? Is that everybody? Just put it. That's it? Okay, thank you. This is a book I'd like for you to bring every Sunday this year. Every Sunday. What, like I told everybody, you got one? Yeah, he did. Okay. What you do is write your name in that book. That is your book. Clarissa, you got a book? When you move, you lose. I don't know. No, Andrew, why don't you get her one? No. Amen. I'm just making sure. I understand what you have to do. I'm messing with you. Yeah, that's okay. Well, that happens. Thank you, Andrew. Like I said earlier, that is your book for you personally, okay? And it has every day you go and you read and write notes. Write notes of what God is speaking to you about. You know, you might read it and one word just write that word down and you say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Because you see, the Spirit of God in you is the Holy Ghost. And it does something on the inside of you. That is your book, and it's for nobody else. And so you write your name in it, and you read it every day, and you get it in your spirit. You get it in your soul. Today's lesson or devotional is January the 11th, which is page 31. Page 31. And Breadcrumbs was written by Lauren Larson. You're going to read one of the devotional times he tells about how he was hooked on drugs, alcohol, and how God mightily changed him. And now he is an associate pastor at Jimmy Swaggart's church. I say Jimmy Swaggart's, the family worship center. He's a professor there at the college, and he was also the chancellor of the college at one time. Now he stepped down, and someone else has taken it over. But God used this man coming off of drugs, alcohol. I mean, look what God can do. Look what God can do. So if you would, let's John 8:36 at the top. It says, Christian liberty. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It says, there are many liberties that we are called to embrace as believers. None are freedoms that we have paid for, earned, or even deserve. Each and every one of them was paid for by Jesus Christ when he offered himself as a sacrifice for lost humanity at Calvary. Though the list of victories won far surpasses what time and space allow here, let me highlight a few powerful benefits afforded to all who dare to believe that these benefits are theirs for the claiming. We have freedom from sin. Jesus paid the price to free us from the penalty, the power, and one day the presence of sin. Amen. Freedom from law. Jesus gave us his righteousness so that we would no longer be accountable to the law as the means of righteousness. That's important, people. Freedom from the world. We have access to grace that frees us from the desire of worldly pursuits. Freedom from the devil. He has destroyed the devil's power through his death. Freedom from self. He has freed us from the dominating desire to please just me. All of these benefits are available to those who access them daily through faith in the finished work of Christ. Stand fast in the liberty and Christ died to provide. Amen, people. I just want to say this. What you put into this is what you're going to get out. There are many gold nuggets in this book that will feed your soul and get you and do something on the inside. So the more you put in it, the more God will work in your heart and life. My Lord, my Lord. Amen. If you would, let's make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Turn to the scripture, John 8:36. It says this, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He just didn't say you'd be free, but indeed you are free. Oh, my Lord. See, that's the Holy Spirit stamping upon your heart. You see this, look, people. The devil will try to get you to the place where you think the thing that has been dragging you down since day one almost is going to be in your life to the day you close your eyes and you meet your maker. And I'm talking about stuff that may not be too pleasing to the Lord, that God has dealt with us about. But God says this, that through His Son, you have been freed. You've been freed from the slavery of sin. You've been freed from the slavery of self. You've been freed from the slavery of evil that the enemy has put upon our hearts and lives, and we have subdued to it or given our lives to. But when we receive Christ, He broke the chains of bondage. And the Father says that you have been set free. And we are free indeed. No matter what the enemy says, no matter what we think, we have been freed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Not us freeing ourselves, but Him by the Holy Ghost coming into our hearts. And now He is God that is dominating in our spirit now. He makes us free from the bondages of the evil world. You might say, well, how do I step over into realizing who I am and what has happened in me? You have to receive it. We have to believe it. We have to receive it. And we have to say, Lord, I cannot do it on my own. Yes, you know, that's just like a bird that's been in the cage for I don't know how many years. And all of a sudden, the owner just opens the door. And instead of the bird flying out, he stays in the cage. The owner has set him free. But he stays in the cage. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to work on the inside of us, changing us, making us, moving in us. And look, people, it's going to take us yielding to the Holy Ghost. It's going to take us yielding to the Spirit of God and having Him do the work that needs to be done in us so we can be free of the bondages of the mind. My Lord. How many times have we thought something and it wasn't true? How many times we thought something of someone and ruined their reputation in the mind and it wasn't truth? Oh. We have to be set free and saying, Lord, help me to think the way you think. Help me to do things the way you would want me to do things. And I know you might say, well, you know, we're going to battle this. Yes, sin is all the way around us, people. It's here. I like in that book how it says, you know, we're going to be set free and also free from the presence of evil one day. You know how freedom that will be? When God comes back for his church and we're taken out of here and we're not even part of the evil nature of this world till he comes back and takes the throne, my Lord. God frees the earth of the domination of sin and evil. Well, didn't he free us? Well, yes, he set us free, but it's still dominating upon the earth. But he set us free individually. You know, there's yokes that have been placed, seems like, on people's lives, and God wants to break those things. Breaking the yokes of bondage, shattering those things that need to be shattered. You know, I was thinking of, you know, we don't see this anymore that I know of, and really probably just on TV and whatever. You know, they talk about yokes of oxen, you know, how there was two oxen, or it could have been two horses, or it could have been two donkeys, or whatever you want to call them. But usually it's oxen because they're massive and big and powerful, and how the farmer would come and put a yoke upon their heads. It usually was a piece of some type of wood, from what I can see. But the oxen would be two of them, and they would side by side, and this yoke would come from the top over their necks. There was a wood, it was one piece of wood that come from the middle and would go over the necks of both of them and been chained to them. And the farmer in the back would take it to plow their fields. Now, do you think the oxen were in charge or the farmer was in charge? Now, the oxen could have done anything they wanted to do. But the farmer wouldn't have put these oxen on there if he knew they would do something not good. So the farmer was in charge. The yoke kept them in line. And the farmer in the back would have the what they call them? The reins or whatever it is. And he would go and he would make the line. And if the line was straight, it really depended upon the farmer. Because he controlled them. That's just like we control our car from the steering wheel, where it goes. And so the farmer controls by the yoke that is set upon them. You see? But the farmer is in charge. And he cuts those rows straight. Because he wants to put the seed in that field that has been cut up. And the ground. Put that seed so that it can grow on fertile ground. God is in charge. He is the farmer of our lives. You might say, well, are you comparing us to oxen? Well, he has to put a yoke. He says, take my yoke upon me. Take his yoke upon ourselves and see how light it is. That's amazing to us. We are to take the yoke of our God. We are to be the ones that go and cut up the fields and do those things. Do the work that needs to be done. But the farmer, which is God, is in charge, and he's making the way that seems to be like no way. But he's in charge. That's the God we serve. He's in charge of your heart, your life. As you surrender to him, the power of Almighty God will come upon you, and he will show you exactly what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. That's the kind of God we serve. Yes, we're to take the yoke of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts and upon our lives, letting him move in us and through us, letting him clean us up and making us into the church and the body of Christ that he desires and wants us to be. And let me tell you, it takes a lot of work from the oxen and a lot of work from the farmer to get a crop coming forth out of that ground, it takes some work. But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit cuts through the hearts and lives of our lives. Because you see, there's a lot that needs to be done in us. We have to be submitted unto Him, saying, Lord, I've been to a place where I didn't know what to do or how to do it. Seems like very often. But you let the Spirit of God speak. And you let the Spirit of God do. And you let the Spirit of God move. You want to make a mess? Do something without going to God first. And it will be a mess. I'm not saying you won't have opposition even when the Spirit of God moves and tells you. But I tell you what, remember this, the farmer, which is God, is in charge of the earth. He is king and he is Lord and he's in charge of your lives. And so he knows what to do and how to do it and when to do it. That's the power of the Holy Ghost, breaking the yokes of bondage upon our hearts and lives. That's revival, people. That's revival. When he comes in with the key, that master key, and he unlocks that lock that has been in, that has chained you up for all your life. And he unlocks it, and he takes that lock off, and he goes around and he takes the chains off of our lives. Only God could do that. And set you and I free from the bondages of hell, death, and the grave. My God. There's no other God like our God that can do those things. Remember, Jesus came to bring freedom to the church, freedom to the body of Christ, freedom to us individually as a body of believers. As he died upon Calvary's cross, he took upon himself the sin of the world, the sin nature of the world. He took upon himself and he paid the price for it, because the Father needed to be paid to the Father, and he did it. So now we accept what he did and we walk in freedom. You might say, well, Pastor, there's some things I'm not walking in freedom. I understand that. But you get to the place where you call upon Jesus and you say, Father, I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of going around this bush over and over again. I'm tired of going around this tree over and over again. Lord, change me. Lord, help me to have victory over this thing. Help me to do what you called me to do, Father. And the Holy Spirit will come in and he will give you what you need. And he will give you victory after victory after victory. The church, I'm telling you, the church has come to the place where they believe. And I'm telling you this because I see the lives of Christians. They believe we walk in defeat and defeat and defeat and defeat. I'm telling you. You might say, well, as a whole, I'm talking about. You have been saved by the power of Almighty God. You don't have to walk in defeat. You can walk in victory in every aspect of your life because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. My God, my God, my Lord. That's the King of Kings. Let's go on. Freedom from sin, law, the world, devil, and the flesh, or self. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, page 1228. Jeremiah 1, 12. Then said the Lord unto me, talking to Jeremiah, you have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. I know Jeremiah was a prophet and he had prophesied something. And it came about X amount of years later. We need God to hasten his word towards us. And just like we were praying about those prayer requests, and we're calling upon the Lord, wherever one or two that come together and believe that God will come in and he will change and he will answer. We're praying, God, perform your word, hasten it. That means let it come quickly. But Lord, if it doesn't, we will stand firm and we will keep praying and keep believing and standing firm. We will not turn to the left or to the right, but we will not turn our backs to God at all. But we will stand forward and keep on pursuing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you know Christians that have turned their backs on God? You know, it's sad to say, probably every one of us could raise our hands more than once and name a whole lot of people, and you're saying, oh my Lord. Because they believe God for something and God never told them he would do it. And so they get angry with God and they hate God. They don't realize eternity is forever. We got to do everything we can to keep our hearts tender towards God and keep our faith in him no matter what. And when I say no matter what, I'm not saying it's easy. Especially when God tells you something and you don't see it. With these, you know, you put your own eyes. Don't put your finger in your eye, though. Especially when God tells you something or you read it in the Word, but you're not seeing it for your life and you believe in God. You see, the devil comes to snatch your faith away, saying your God cannot do it. What he's trying to do is sift you like wheat. And problems come and they're sifting. And they sift. And he's trying to sift you. He's trying to make you turn from the God that you believed in. He's trying to turn you from the God that gave you salvation. He's trying to turn you from the God that has protected you. He's trying to turn you from the God that gave you wisdom. He's trying to turn you from the God that outperformed any other God, little g, upon this earth. And even though trials and tribulations may come and the sifting keeps happening in your life, and we all go through those things, we never turn from our God. We might become quiet and things may hurt, but never turn from him. It may mean in the morning you get up and you're so weary and tired and you just feel like you can't go on. But you say, Lord, my faith is in you. You can barely speak the words because it's hard. But you keep your faith in him. Because the miracle's about to happen. The miracle is about to happen. We can only rely on him. We can always rely on him at all times. When he says that he will do something, or when he proclaims in his word some promises, then he will honor and he's bound to perform it. He watches over his word and is careful to accomplish all that he says. All God asks is that we believe. In Daniel chapter 6. Daniel loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. It says Daniel would open up the windows of his house and he looked towards the temple at least three times a day, morning, noon, and night. and he'd kneel before it and he'd praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There were men that rose up in that day and they hated Daniel. They hated Daniel's God. And let me tell you something. You might be thinking, why doesn't that person like me? Because they hate the God you serve. They don't like the God you serve. And so it comes down to you that they hate. So they got King Darius to have a proclamation written out that for 30 days no one was to pray to any other God except to him, basically. And so it went around the whole land. And look, Daniel heard about it. What would I have done? Well, let me ask you, what would you have done? See, we obey all laws except if it's different from the Word of God. Then we don't. The first day came about, and I know these guys that did not like Daniel or Daniel's God looked at him and thought, let's see if he opens up the windows. And sure enough, in the morning, he gets up, drinks his coffee, you know what I'm saying, whatever you got to do. Lounges around, prays the Lord. He opens up his window, and he looks to the temple as he yields before God, knowing he's in trouble. You ever done something that was righteous, and you know God wanted you to do? You know that. But yet, you need to help him with the back door. That's okay. Amen. Father, be with her. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's okay. That's okay, y'all. Don't worry about it. Things happen. You ever stood up for something when you knew you were standing up for something, you were going to be in trouble? That's hard because you don't know what God's going to do. You trust God. Daniel praised his God and they came in. They arrested him. They brought him to King Darius. And what would happen to these people, and we know the story, is that they were thrown in the lion's den. The lions they kept down there were fierce lions. Hungry, because they wouldn't feed them a lot. So anybody they threw down there, there was nothing left because they were so hungry. King Darius realized that he had been fooled by his people, some of his people, because he liked Daniel. And he even liked Daniel's God. But sometimes you can be fooled, or you can look at things from a different type of lens when it benefits you. See, that's where we got to get rid of self. Selfishness. That's not easy. It's not easy. And so they take Daniel, and he talks to, Darius talks to Daniel, and he tells him that he's in a be praying for him. He didn't want to do it, but he had to keep his word. They take the rock off the tomb area, the cave, and they throw Daniel down. We don't know how many lions, but just one is not good. One hungry lion is what we want to stay away from. There are lions out there, people. It says the devil comes like a roaring lion. Like. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Ooh. See, the devil always tries to come with something fake. with God. Jesus is the lamb, the line of the tribe of Judah. Oh my God. His lineage from his mother and his earthly father come from Judah, the tribe of Judah. They throw him down there, and all of a sudden, they don't hear much, but they say, well, okay. So they put the stone over the entrance. And all of a sudden, Darius the king, goes back to his place, and he can't sleep because he's so worried about Daniel. So the next day, early as Darius, King Darius could, he ran out there. They take the cover off of that cave, and he hollers in there, Daniel. And Daniel answers back, I'm here. I have a story to tell you. While I was in this, you want to say tomb or cave, the angel came. Oh, people. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that is alive and well and will outdo anything the earth can give us. We can rely upon him. When Daniel was in despair and didn't know what to do, I mean, Daniel, he didn't have anything to take down there. They wouldn't let him. Just him and his clothes. That's it. What he had on. The angel came in and closed the mouth of the lions. God will do that for you and I if we keep our faith in him and do what he says to do. He will close the mouth of the lions that will try to destroy you and I. Because that's what the world wants to do. They want to destroy the church, the body of Christ. I didn't say he wanted to destroy the religion of the world. That's totally different. That's part of him. But the body, the true body of Christ. Let me tell you this. You get in the lion's den and you looks like there's nowhere to go. But I tell you what, God will send the angel. And the angel is capitalized, talking about it was the King of Kings that went down there. My Lord. Can you imagine all night the lions are just there sleeping? We don't know if God fed them. We don't know what happened. But we know this. The angel went for Daniel. When he went for Daniel, he took care of the lions. And for all night, can you imagine? He had fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He saw the King that he worshiped like he never saw before. When we go through hard times or things happen, we will see the King like we never saw him before. He will outperform and do what we've never thought he could do. But God can do miraculous things. That's what the God of King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can do. My God, what he can do. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 2:9. That'll be the last scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:9, page 2004. Your mom's okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's pray for her. Father, we just pray for Miss Sue, Lord. Father, I pray the mighty anointing to be upon her. Lord, be with her. Soothe her soul, Lord God, in her mind. Be with her. Comfort her and help her at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. 2:9 says this, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. Look, we don't know what God's going to do in 2026, people. And I know that's for us. I mean, really, we end and we start. We end and we start. I mean, you know, everything in life with us has a beginning and an end. Except our God never had a beginning and never had it. He's always been there. And I know that blows our minds away. You know, Everything we buy, we can buy a new vehicle. In 10 years from now, it will be nothing but rust and rubble. Except little blue. No. What's his name?
Kirby.
He's 10 years old?
Yeah.
Okay, Kirby's still rolling. That's her.
And will
roll in Jesus' name. Hey, God says he will bless those that tithe and give offerings. God will move and do whatever he needs to do. My God, that's the kind of God we serve. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God will do. Look, people, let's stay humble before him. As we humble ourselves before our God, let's listen to him. Close with this. We believe our God. We humble ourselves before him. And we say, Lord, what you want, whatever you want to do, and listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen. He's gentle. And he will speak. And he will move. Oh. And let me tell you, as he speaks to us, we'll get to know that voice. We'll get to know when he's talking to us and telling us. And as we follow him, he will make the crooked places straight again. He will make the narrow places a little wider for us. And he will give us the direction that we need. We don't know what God will do this year. We have an expectancy on our hearts. I know that. And we can see maybe a little bit. But Lord, make it clear to me. Clarity, Lord. Show us. And reveal himself to us. Amen. Don't forget to read. You might want to go back today and read what we read today. Every day, read. Write down some notes for you. And bring it back every Sunday, okay? Amen.